Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in today. We're looking forward to having a journey through this broadcast that I believe will be informative, challenging, and informational for you. I pray that as you listen today, you'll listen with a prayerful heart as to what would God have you to do in regard to what we'll be discussing on this broadcast. May I simply say one of the first things that I believe that we need to do as Christians, we need to be watching, looking up, lifting up our heads because our redemption is drawing nigh. I believe we need to be working all during this period of time, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with every human being possible, letting them know there is hope and that hope has eternal consequences and eternal value. We ought to also be involved in sharing what is taking place with others. There are a lot of people today, perhaps you're one of them that's listening to this broadcast, that's not familiar with some of the staggering things that's taking place in our society, in America, and right here in the state of Florida. We're going to be talking about some legislation that is absolutely dangerous to every citizen in the state of Florida. And I'm going to call on you today to call some legislators, some senators, some representatives, and even the governor's office, and ask the governor to veto a bill that's on the fast track to his office. I'm saddened to find that most of these things that we're talking about today are as a result of rhinos in Tallahassee, those that have an R behind their name, those that are supposed to be Republicans, those that if you talk with them personally and individually, claim to be Christians and conservatives and want to do the right thing. But ladies and gentlemen, I've got news for you. There's some things that's just been uncovered, that's just been revealed, that I've just discovered, absolutely is shocking to me in relationship to this thing that's called COVID, the COVID deaths that's taking place in the hospitals, and the hospitals and medical care facilities that have close their doors in the faces of the families and the friends and the relatives and of the pastors that would go in and visit these friends and relatives and family members that are dying, sequestered in that aloneness with fear and anxiety and no one to help. And I thought, ladies and gentlemen, maybe I was too naive, I thought some of our conservative legislators would be able to help. We're going to talk about that in this broadcast today. We're going to challenge you to write down some telephone numbers, make some telephone calls, or get on the computer and send some emails. I'd prefer to see you make the telephone calls and leave information. You'll not be able to talk with the legislators, probably, but leave information with the legislative assistants, their administrative aides in the office, as you call them, and be kind and courteous, but at the same time, as pointed as a needle as to what you want to do and what you're challenging them to do to protect we, the citizens in the state of Florida. We need to pray. We need to seek God's face. We need to confess our sins. We need to ask God to heal our land because it is so vital. It is so needed today as perhaps never before in the history of the United States of America. But ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about today, killing for pay. And I'm pointed with that, killing for pay. And let me remind you, during the course of this broadcast, you can jump in at any time that you'd like to with your dialogue, discussion, your questions, and your responses to what we'll be saying in this show today. That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, this is not just idle talk. This is not just the flapping of the gums, as some call it, to waste airtime. It is something that I think is vital each and every day as we come to you by way of this radio broadcast and warn of dangers to come. I believe that's what God would have us to do. Ezekiel 33 talked about it, being the watchman on the wall, warning of the dangers to come. Because, ladies and gentlemen, if we do not warn, if we do not take a stand, if we do not warn of the dangers that's before us, we that know the truth, we that hold the answer in relationship to what is happening, we are held responsible based on the authority of the Word of God. And God said it, and that settles it. I'm convinced of it without any further reservation in my heart, mind, or life at all. And Ezekiel 33 is very, very clear as to the responsibility that we have to do so. If we warn and the one hearing does not heed it, it's their responsibility. If we fail to warn and then there is danger and death and devastation as a result of it, the watchman on the wall that did not warn is held responsible by God. There's some that say, oh, preacher, that's the Old Testament. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is immutable. That means unchangeable. What he did yesterday, what he's doing today, he shall continue to do. God has never had to go to plan B because plan A failed. And so I'm warning us today, listen up, sit up, take notice, be involved, be salt and light. God's charged us with that responsibility. And as we cover these issues, we do so not based on political, ideological bent, not based on denominational dogma or some scare tactic or not some conspiracy theory. We're basing it, ladies and gentlemen, on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. In fact, in John 8, 31 and 32, the Lord Jesus speaking to his disciples, he said, if you continue my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And then in John 14, 6, Jesus says, I am truth. And further, he states dogmatically and definitively and directly in John 17, 17, thy word is truth. It's the truth of the word of God that has the first, the foremost, and the final authority. Not what I think or say, not what you think or say, not what you feel to be truth or what someone else may feel to be truth. It was the former Senator Jim DeMint that made the statement, what we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-pride, self-worship, than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is the precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches. So I'm calling on you today, ladies and gentlemen, to hear truth, to wake up, sit up, no cliche, smell the coffee, be actively involved, working. Go back to the book of Nehemiah and find that when there was the attempt to come in and harm them as they were building the wall around Jerusalem. They had 49,700 some odd people. During that period of time, they rebuilt the wall in 52 days, but they had those that would come in, incursions at night, warning them that they're going to kill all of them and warning them that they need to be, if you please, back down, stop, discontinue the work. But Nehemiah said in Nehemiah 4 and verse 20, our God shall fight for us. As they continued the work, they did so with the sword in one hand and the brick and the mortar in the other hand, carrying out the work that God had called them to do. So that's what I'm calling you to do today, is to keep working, keep watching. But at the same time, ladies and gentlemen, recognize that our God shall fight for us. It's our responsibility to take the stand to be the salt and light that God's called us to be. And the only way that's possible is to stand for truth. It was the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, that made this statement. Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, even to death. That's what I challenge you to do each and every day. That's my attempt each and every day on this broadcast, is to stand for the truth, seeking the truth, telling the truth, and defending the truth, ladies and gentlemen, even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment leadership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. But wait a minute. There's good news. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is looking to hire all positions. House and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's family-friendly environment oriented around the family. They're closed on Sunday, ladies and gentlemen, so that you can worship with your family on Sunday. Just drop by Tools for Time, located at 11291, that's 11291, 11291 Old San Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. It's the home where the gigantic U.S. flag is flowing 24/7. Find that flag in that flagpole, and at the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. So drop by Tools for Time at 11291 Old San Augustine Road. Make an application, wait for an interview, and go to work with Tools for Time. Ladies and gentlemen, it's toolsfortime.com, toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me call our attention to the fact that we are still in a quagmire with what is called COVID. It is a continual dismay to me that we're finding, even though more and more truth is coming out, we're finding a greater and greater push from those COVID jabbers that want to put the COVID needle in everybody's arm. It is amazing to me that I find it fascinating, infuriating, and concerning that this has continued to take place. I feel sorry, ladies and gentlemen. Shocked and sadness and sorrow fills my heart today as we discover more and more of the roots and the reason behind the push for the forced jab, for the COVID shot. Now, you might ask the question, and I have. My wife and I have talked about it quite often. What would be the motivation of a doctor to refuse to give proper medication, hydroxychloroquine, better known as HCQ, ivermectin? What is wrong with a doctor that's refusing to do that and simply recommending remdesivir and or other killing drugs that's been discovered to kill more people? We'll talk about during the course of this broadcast. Why would a doctor do that? Why would a hospital, ladies and gentlemen, feel at leisure to shut you out, shut me out, shut the patient's families out, and kill, and I'm using that term clearly, and kill those that they claim have COVID-19. Why would they do that? Why would you take a person with a broken leg that's entered into the emergency room because of the broken leg, and 2 days later, 3 days later, all of a sudden, it's on the record that he's a COVID patient? Why would they do that? Why would a hospital risk their license, risk their reputation, risk their future in order to continue to kill, maim, and destroy those that go into the hospitals? Why would they be so brazen against the family members? Why would they shut out pastors and priests and other spiritual leaders that want to go in and visit with a family member, a friend, or a member of their congregation? Why would they shut the doors and be so brazen about it? Why would you have a patient? Just one just came to my mind. Why would you take a nursing facility, a rehab facility, and take a 90-year-old woman and leave her in the bed to lay in human waste for days, simply saying that we don't have time to bother with that? It's easier and quicker to clean that patient up than to take care of them and their bathroom needs. Why would they do that so brazenly? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you it's because they're getting paid to kill us. Now, you might say that's conspiracy theory. I dare you to prove me wrong. You might say, well, that's just off-the-cuff hyperventilation and that you really are not speaking the truth. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you today this is what we're dealing with. We're dealing with hospitals and doctors and medical facilities where you go in for rehab, you go in for nursing home treatment, you go in for the treatment, and we're dealing with these that have been, and we'll talk about it in detail. We're dealing with these institutions, including physicians, that have been given total blanket liability coverage by our legislators, by our Republican, so-called conservative, some professing Christian legislators. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that we're in a dark time in America and here in the state of Florida. I knew that these things were perhaps taking place in other states. I knew there was the great possibility in Virginia where two hospitals tortured our son for 71 days before killing him. I wondered how they were doing that seemingly so cavalier, with such a cavalier approach. But ladies and gentlemen, I've discovered that here in Florida, we're doing the same thing. I'm looking at an article, and I'll lead up to going through the bills that I want to talk about today. Here's an article that says, mass murder by a medical system that has lost its direction and lost its soul. This article opens, Dr. Pierre Corey says, people are dying, yet all of my ideas were getting shouted down. My superiors were showing up to my clinical meetings and getting me to stand down because I was entertaining the idea that we should do this and that other things, this and that and other things, and they didn't want anything to be done. Another doctor says this, this is a war on cheap, repudiated drugs. Dr. Mark Malvick, before testifying on a bill in New Hampshire, saying that he would like to see them use ivermectin and other drugs. Dr. Peter McCullough says, I never thought I'd see the day where doctors are censored and patients are kept from the care that will save their lives. Ladies and gentlemen, this article says we were lied to about the number of deaths from COVID. We were where the test runs at cycles too high to proportionally show false positives. Yes, they were. Could someone pass the virus as asymptomatic? No. Was social distancing valid? No. Were masks beneficial? No. Were the lockdowns effective in stopping the viral spread? No. Have nearly half of the small business been destroyed? Yes. Has the economy tanked? Yes. Have the big box stores benefited? Yes. Has domestic abuse risen? Yes. Has drug addiction climbed? Yes. Have suicide rates escalated? Yes. Have mental and physical problems risen? Yes. Have children lost IQ from the masking? Yes. Are the children disabled via speech impediments and learning disabilities because of the false lockdowns and masking? Yes. Have the AMA, the CDC, and the FDA, the NIH protocols saved patients? No, no, no. This writer used some explicatives before his no. They have purposely murdered hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions, who could have been saved. The dissident doctors and scientists and healthcare workers know there are reported drugs, inexpensive and available to all, that could have saved 86% of those that have already died. Have those same stakeholders lied about hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin? Yes, they have. Even the Lancet Journal and New England Journal of Medicine have lied to us about these drugs. Have we been sold a lie via the fear-mongering and media propaganda? Yes, we have. Has the government enacted mandates that are unconstitutional on all of us? Yes, they have. Has the Bill of Rights been violated? Yes, it has. And this writer, ladies and gentlemen, goes on and on and on and on with a 7-page massive article of what has taken place. I wanted to give you just a little sense of the background of where we are today. Dr. Zelkona, who could have ended the pandemic long ago, he says, when upstate New York physician drew the attention of President Trump back in the spring of 2020 with a simple protocol of cheap, proven, widely available drugs for COVID-19 that included hydroxychloroquine. He has successfully treated more than 350 patients, with only one needing hospitalization at all. 2 years later, amid continued government and medical suppression of early treatments, the doctor told WorldNet Daily in a video interview that he and his team have administered what is now known as the protocol for their physicians, more than 7,000 COVID patients with only 3 deaths. Moreover, the cocktail of hydroxychloroquine, the popular antibiotic zimethicone and zinc sulfate, along with combination of other drugs such as ivermectin, have been adopted by more than 1,000 physicians around the world, according to the American frontline doctors. And it goes on to talk about how it has been successful in saving lives and preventing the deaths of multitudes by using the proper drugs and the proper treatment. But ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. That has been squashed by the CDC, by the Biden cabal and the Biden administration. That has been said they have refused to allow physicians and doctors and hospitals and medical facilities to utilize these drugs that are life-saving drugs and life-saving protocol and life-saving measures. Instead, they're insisting that doctors and hospitals and medical care facilities use only the CDC protocol. You might say, well, why will they do that? Ladies and gentlemen, first and foremost is the MONEY. Doctors and hospitals and medical care facilities will get a minimum of a 20% upcharge, 20% benefit, 20% bonus. Let's say the bill is $250,000 to $500,000. They get a 20% bonus if they follow the CDC protocol. That's number one. And secondly, ladies and gentlemen, we're finding in state after state after state across America, the state legislators are being paid by the big pharma and by the lobbyists in order to pass bills and legislations that will give carte blanche liability coverage for anything that takes place that someone might file suit against the hospital, against the doctors, or the medical care facilities. They're doing it for the money, ladies and gentlemen. This is the reason I'm calling today's broadcast, Killing Us for Pay. That telephone number, by the way, is 831-0917, 831-0917. I'm looking at an article, ladies and gentlemen, that says embalmer, that's E-M-B-A-L-M-E-R, better known as the mortician. Embalmer are alarmed by the mysterious blood clots in vaccinated people. Dated February the 13th, 2022, amid indications that from many different sources of a dramatic rise in the sudden onset of serious illnesses following COVID-19 vaccination, a veteran embalmer is reporting that he and more than a dozen other colleagues in the industry have been noticing strange blood clots in most of their cases. The mortician said, with more than 20 years of experience in the funeral industry in Alabama, says that in the mid 2021, he began noticing odd blood clots in the arteries and lungs that he had never seen before in those that he was embalming. He said that last month he found that 65% of his cases exhibited those blood clots. He told them that every one of the 15 people in the industry with whom he had spoken has observed the same alarming trends. Hirschman said that only one exception, he hasn't seen any cases in which the strange blood clots were seen in any unvaccinated person that he's embalmed. The exception was an unvaccinated person who had received a full blood transfusion. So, ladies and gentlemen, the thing that we're talking about today that we need to recognize is that we have been lied to by CDC, lied to by the NIH, lied to by Dr. Fauci, lied to by the World Health Organization, and all of those that we have paid attention to and have had admiration for in history past, taking care of, as we thought, for our health. But ladies and gentlemen, that is not the case today. We've come a long way, baby, as the old commercial used to say on television about some product that they were selling. But ladies and gentlemen, the point that I want to make is that we're watching today those that are careless, I would put it very lightly, careless, but it's far deeper than that. I've stood in sheer amazement, ladies and gentlemen, how doctors and hospitals, medical care centers, and even nursing homes have all seemingly gone without any fear of any lawsuit killing our family members. Yes, I said killing our family members. Why do you think they're doing this? What do you think that they're insisting on? Why do you think that they are doing this without seemingly any care or concern about we the people, we the family members, we the friends, relatives, neighbors, and associates? Why is it that the hospital seem to have no concern about that whatsoever? Ladies and gentlemen, why will they administer drugs that over and over and over and over prove that it will kill the patient? Why do they insist on using a ventilator when any research can tell you the ventilator should not be used more than 14 days? The physicians that I have personally talked with about this matter, they say that 85% of those that go on a ventilator never survive. 85%, that's a pretty high number, ladies and gentlemen. Why is it that they continue to do that? Ladies and gentlemen, for months now, let me just do a little transition and bring you into the loop of what we want to do for the balance of this broadcast today. For several months now, I've been working personally, been working with some of our legislators, some of the Republican House members and senators, in order to have asked them to prepare a bill, to pass a bill this legislative session that will give some relief for we the people, give some relief for the family members, that will allow pastors and clergy to go in and visit with family members and those of the congregation that were there with COVID. And for now, almost 2 years, better than 2 years, I should say, the hospitals have sequestered that patient. The hospitals have refused to allow any visitors. In fact, today, ladies and gentlemen, most hospitals have more security guards than prisons. Did you realize that? Most hospitals, let me say that again in case it didn't sink in. Most hospitals across America today have more security guards, armed security guards, than many of our jails and prisons across America. That is to prevent you and prevent me from going in to visit a family member, a friend, a co-worker, or a fellow believer from our churches. Why is it they do not want us in there? Well, the smokescreen has been that it's very dangerous. You could catch COVID. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if a nurse can go in, if a doctor can go in, if the healthcare workers can go in by putting on a mask and a robe called the personal protection equipment, why can't we, the people, dress accordingly and go in? That's what I had asked in Senate Bill 988. And Senate Bill 988, that came out of the bill drafting. It's now, they're now working with Senate Bill 988 with a sister bill in the House that after it goes to reconciliation, supposedly, will be debated on the floors and passed in the House and the Senate. But ladies and gentlemen, there are no teeth in it. It still says very clearly that the hospitals, the medical care facilities, can impose any restrictions that they deem necessary for the protection of the public health. That is, they can still lock you out. They can still require you to wear PPE and a mask, et cetera, et cetera. They can still ask the security guard to come and throw you out of the room, as has happened right here in the city of Jacksonville. It's happened in other cities across America, where family members, out of sheer distress and anguish, have gone in, even at the risk of their own safety. They've gone in to see a patient, to have them handcuffed and dragged out of the facilities. Ladies and gentlemen, we've never seen this in the history of America. We've never been in the lockdown condition. We've never been lied to or being lied to today by the medical field, those physicians, those that are the hospital and medical care facilities, ladies and gentlemen, where we go. But ladies and gentlemen, I've worked for months with Senator Aaron Bean. I've worked for months with Representative Clay Yarber and other representatives, ladies and gentlemen, to try to get something passed that would allow we, the people, to have a little freedom to be able to visit our family and our friends and our co-workers and fellow believers in the hospital. And the end result is that the bill is worthless. But, ladies and gentlemen, I did not know until the last few days the reason that they wanted to pass a watered-down, zip-zero, no-value bill to appease me or to perhaps appease others that supposedly is in the loop for wanting this done. And it's simply because Senate Bill 7014, ladies and gentlemen, and House Bill 7021 have been on the fast track being processed through the House and the Senate. And perhaps you'll ask the question, what do those two bills do? What? And they're in the process now of reconciliation. So one bill number will survive, either Senate Bill 7014 or House Bill 7021, one of those bill numbers will survive, and it will be fast-tracked then once the reconciliation between the House and the Senate takes place. It will be fast-tracked to the governor's desk for the governor to sign. So, ladies and gentlemen, the balance of this broadcast, we're going to talk about what's in those two bills, what's in the ultimate reconciled bill, and why we should call the governor, why we should call Senator Bean, why we should call Representative Byrd, why we should call Representative Yarbrough and others, and plead with them, politely but pointedly, pleading with them to say no, that you need to withdraw that bill, and then to contact the governor's office, talk with his legislative assistant, his chief of staff, and plead with the governor to veto the bill if it comes to his desk, to veto it summarily. And now some will say, well, there's enough in the House and the Senate, that is, to override a veto. That may be possible, but it's my prayer, my plea, with your action and involvement in it, that there will be enough that will change their vote, change their mind, that there will not be the overriding of the veto if we can get the governor to veto the bill. It is that serious. It is that devastating. It is that dangerous, ladies and gentlemen, where we stand in society today. Let me just read you an attorney's overview of this legislation. We'll come back and do the same right after the break in just a moment. Jeff Childers, an attorney out of Gainesville, Florida. He said, yesterday, House Bill 7021, the bill that would continue to shield hospitals from any legal liability for injuries from COVID patients, was tabled, but only to allow the House and the substitute Senate version 7014 to go through the lawmaking process of reconciliation. Ladies and gentlemen, this bill, if it is signed by the governor, will be continuing devastation for we the people. It will continue to allow every medical facility, including hospitals, doctor's offices, etc., to kill the patient because under the name of COVID, because of what they get out of the COVID funds. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the top of the hour news.
Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.